Hello and welcome to PMI's Uncommon Sense podcast, tools to improve your work forever. I'm Susanna Clark, Managing Partner with PMI. Our Uncommon Sense podcast is a 15-minute conversation with our expert consultants. They talk a lot of common sense, although much of it is not common practice. And that's what this podcast is all about. We want you to be inspired to improve your business through learning more about the tools which can help you succeed and grow. Today, I'm joined by Damien Albertson, and we're going to talk about scatter diagrams. But before we do, Damien, in case people who are listening don't know you, could you introduce yourself, please?
So my name's Damien Albertson. I'm a senior consultant with PMI. Been with the business 10 years consulting, and prior to that I was 13 years in the aerospace industry, largely employed around business improvement type roles.
Lovely, thank you. So why did you choose scatter diagrams? I have a sense that it's somewhat a poor relation, really, for many people.
It's one of these techniques that in a certain niche of business improvement, what are the possible theories of something that's causing this variation that I have in the output of my process? Scatter diagrams are such a visual way to show or to prove or disprove that this thing you believe is causing the variation really is or really isn't. You know, it's such a nice way to show it. And I think that there's lots of people, especially in like project reports they write for us when they've done a project, they make references to the fact that they believe there's a relationship somewhere between something, but don't use the scatter to show what it looks like. So, yeah, I thought I should talk about it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe to sort of make it more popular.
So you've given us some sense of what it's for. It's to confirm whether there is or isn't a relationship. Can you just talk a bit about how it does that?
They're generally referred to as XY scatter plots or scatter charts. You'll find these built into very popular programs like Excel, for instance. You can go on the graph tools there and ask it for an XY scatter. And what they're doing is there's two axes, one horizontal, one vertical. And the horizontal axis is what's called your explanatory variable. That's a nice fancy term for you. So that's the variable that you think explains the variation in something else. And the vertical axis is called the response, which if you think about your cause and effect diagram, for those that understand what they are, and if you don't, go back and look at that. The effect in the cause and effect diagram is the thing we're interested in resolving. So trying to reduce the variation in the effect. So that would go in the vertical axis, the response. And then we would play off against that in the horizontal axis, these causes, these theories we've generated that we believe causes the effect. And so as you change the values that you've measured the explanatory variable, you then plot the corresponding result number. What you're looking for there is, do these two things that are randomly moving around, do they show any kind of relationship with one another in terms of how the dots fall? And what we're looking for typically is to form like an imaginary straight line, which can either be going diagonally upwards from left to right, which we would call a positive correlation, or they can sometimes start off high and come down lower, so that's called a negative. And then lots of other shapes in between. You can get curves and sort of S-shaped curves. You can start to get really, really scientific with it and quite complex. And then how steep is the slope that you get in terms of this imaginary line that you get with the points, which of course then talks about the strength of the relationship. So there's two things we say to look for. You're looking for, is there a relationship? Which direction is it in? And is it a true correlation? This is where things can get a little bit tricky, because mathematically, there are lots and lots of things that mathematically correlate, i.e. they appear to one cause as the other, and yet they're completely unrelated. A classic one that many people have probably heard about is ice cream sales correlate with shark attacks. You know, so we better reduce ice cream sales then, and everything's okay. Or as shark attacks increase, for some reason we sell more ice cream, so let's get more sharks in the bay and we'll improve our ice cream business. You know, they're just ludicrous ideas. And of course, what's happening there is that there's two completely independent things that are both correlating with something else, which in this case is the weather, right? More weather, more people at the beach, more shark attacks, and of course, more ice cream sales. So they've really taken two responses and kind of played them off against each other, which appears mathematically like they're related. But correlation does not mean causation is one of the famous things. So you have to then apply a degree of expertise to the what you've measured to say, okay, whilst it looks like it's one relates to the other, does that make sense? How could that possibly be? Or could we try something that would disprove that? So yeah, that's sort of how we use the technique.
When would you say to somebody, I mean, you mentioned people in their project report saying, oh, there's definitely a relationship here, but you're saying you didn't see a scatter diagram. So can you give me some examples of when should somebody be really saying you should use that scatter diagram to confirm?
Yeah, the most appropriate time to use it is certainly when you're plugging through an investigation, especially if you're tackling variation. So if you say we have a variation in the output of a process, we could make a whole list of things we believe is causing it. You would then want to go away and study those things and collect data on them at the same time as measuring the effect and put them into an XY scatter. If one really does affect the other, then we should see a correlation in there. We should see some sort of correlation in a relationship. And many times you don't. It seems plausible that one affects the other, but when you put them in and play them off against each other, there's nothing there. It's just a random sheet of dots that are just bouncing up and down, which means that there is no relationship, which from a PDSA point of view, which is the thinking model we advise for business improvement, that means that we've disconfirmed our theory. It means that the theory wasn't true. We found evidence to suggest it's one doesn't affect the other, and therefore we should either close down the discussion on that theory because we now know it's not true, or we maybe explore different range of values. Maybe it does cause a relationship if the settings are higher or lower or something like that. But that's helpful, because if we didn't have that, we might have carried on talking about it, or worse still, believed it one relates to the other and then gone off and try and fixed it and tried to do something about the explanatory variable, you know, trying to change it in some way. Now, if it doesn't have an effect on the output that you're trying to ultimately solve, you've now just changed something that won't have an effect. So you've wasted time and energy, might have even created a new problem, which is the last thing we want to do. So I think for the sakes of how long they take to build and the simplicity of them, I would always say, if you're making any statement that says X causes Y, you know, this thing causes something else to behave a certain way, I would say, okay, back it up. Where's your data? Where's your XY scatter? And back it up with that. Couple of cautions to watch out for as well when you do that, because I have had this once before. So the number of measurements that you take has to be reasonable, let's say.
Can we give me a number for quantifying reasonable?
Yeah, I'd say something like 10, 20, without going daft, unless you already have the data to hand, in which case, great. But I did once get a report from someone that had 3 data points on there, and they claimed that they had a positive correlation between these 2 variables. Now, I'm sure most of you can imagine just in your mind's eye that 3 data points could randomly appear to look like they are some sort of diagonal straight line. And of course, it could have just been that they just happened to be the first 3 measurements we saw. And as we carried on collecting more, we'd see that actually there was nothing there at all. So make sure that you have enough samples, as we would say, of each. Never extrapolate. So we say, if you do see a relationship between 2 variables, let's say your bottom value goes from 0 to 10 units of something, and let's say for every increment of 5, the other thing doubles. So you might say, so if I set my thingy to 20, then I'm going to get double the amount in the response. You haven't seen what happens up there, according to your own study. So if you extrapolate and believe that that relationship carries on forever, you can make some really poor decisions off the back of that. A funny example of that someone gave me was, if the number of shots that I have on a night out correlates with how much fun I have, you could say, well, I had 5 shots last night, had a great time. And so if I had 20, I'd have an amazing night. And of course, maybe not the case.
So in summary, it's a really great tool that will help you understand whether there is a cause and effect relationship between something you're doing and how the data is responding to that. That's could be confirming or disconfirming evidence. And just say on a personal level, I've had it as disconfirming evidence, which was very upsetting because I thought there was a cause and effect positive. And Dennis took me to a scatter diagram and showed me that it wasn't. But it did do all the things that you then said, Damien, is it stops me wasting my time doing more of the same things I thought were making it better, and they weren't. And that's really the power of the tool, isn't it? Early on, so that you don't waste your time.
I think that's probably the more beneficial side, is it's when it shows that your theory is wrong. My first black belt project was a real mystery as to what was causing the problem. And we tested probably in the end, I'd say at least 20 to 30 different theories about what was causing this inconsistent growth of a product. So we tested all of these different variables and factors and so on, and none of them showed a true relationship between this issue we had and these variables. And people would say to me, oh, doesn't that make you quite depressed? It's like, well, it's a little frustrating because it's taken a long time to do all those tests. And by now I thought I would have found the issue. But on the flip side, think of all the learning we now have. Those theories were being kicked around by different people in the organization. Oh, it's probably this it's doing it. Oh, I bet you it's this. I bet you it's that. And we could say now conclusively, no, it's not. It's not those things, because we've looked at them. And as much as it made sense on paper, it is not those. We're missing something here. What are we not seeing? And that causes everyone to go, yeah, this is getting really interesting. It's almost like a plot twist or something. And that's where the energy needs to be. If we flounder with these things that maybe don't matter, even though they sound like they probably should, we're going to make change without any improvement. It's a great technique to really tell you when you're not correct, or when you are, of course. I've not talked about it on this, but when you go to the more advanced modelling of X, Y or scatter charts, we talk about something called regression, which we wouldn't ordinarily teach until either our advanced stats course or the black belt sort of level. But the thinking is very much the same in terms of what it does and what you're looking for. It's just the way we interpret the results gets a little bit more sophisticated. Sometimes it might look like there's a relationship there, but statistically there isn't. We don't have enough evidence. And we can look at the strength to which these points follow certain models or probabilistic models and that kind of stuff. So there is a degree of complexity that we can move it into. But I think for the benefits of our wider audience, just the simple technique of two variables, one against the other, let's see what we learn from looking at some of that stuff.
Thank you very much, Damien. It's been great having you today. Really enjoyed listening to you talking about scatter diagrams. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find more episodes of our Uncommon Sense Tools to Improve Your Work Forever in our Knowledge Hub on our website, or, of course, your favourite podcast platform. And do subscribe so you never miss an episode. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode, where you'll find links to more content on this topic, which includes webinar recordings, toolbox guides, blogs and infographics, and our training page. You can always drop us a line on team@pmi.co.uk and arrange a time to have a call to talk about how these tools can help you in your organisation. We'd really love to hear from you.